Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love to connect with you. Unfortunately, due to the coronavirus outbreak, we aren't meeting in person right now, but there are still a lot of ways to connect with our community. On Sunday mornings, you can worship with us online through our YouTube channel at 10 a.m. or join us for a special family ministry live stream worship over on our Facebook page at 10:30. We are at Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Our pastors are here to support you and connect you with our community so that you will remember, even during this time of social distancing, that you are not alone. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, we're going to turn to our scripture for today, and our scripture reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And as we turn to that scripture, let us keep in mind the hope and prayer that God will speak to us through this scripture and through the word that will be shared. So let us pray. God, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to the reading of your word and the word that is shared. We ask that you speak to us once again through this ancient text. We ask that the words of Paul come alive to us and give us a sense of hope now and always. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. Well, our reading from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm wondering this morning if anybody maybe has experienced a little anxiety lately. Maybe just a tad. Maybe I'm the only one who has experienced some anxiety at this time, but I'm guessing that I'm not alone. I'm guessing that since we were already in a chronically anxious world and a chronically anxious culture, that perhaps this situation of a global pandemic has maybe added a little anxiety to our lives that was unexpected. Now, in a moment like we're in, it is very easy to be more anxious than we already were. It's easy to find our way into finding ways to add anxiety into our lives. And the reality is, in a moment like this, it is impossible perhaps to remove anxiety, but it is possible, and it is a promise that God gives to us, that we can at least reduce anxiety, that we can find our way to seeing a life and a way forward where we are less anxious, so that we can let not just anxiety be present in our lives, but that we can let hope and love and peace be present. Because I think that's what happens, is when we have anxiety in our lives, we don't let the good things just stay, but we actually let anxiety push them out. Fundamentally, I think that's kind of how we're looking at things in many moments of life, but especially in the one that we're in right now. If we let anxiety, which is excessive worry, excessive stressing, excessive putting ourselves through the paces around things that we can't control, that then stop us from doing the things that we want to do or the things we can do, if we let anxiety be part of what's going on too much in our lives, then we're going to miss and we're going to not have the life that we want, no matter how different it might be in this moment than with the one we expected. And so one of the things that we can do for ourselves in times like this is work to reduce the anxiety in our lives. We can find our way to being less anxious, and this is something that God wants for us now, and this is something that God has wanted for people at all times. Now, I think when we look at the scriptures and we find encouragements to live in certain ways, it means that there was a need to find our way forward in a different way, even back then as people. there's something that's comforting in the continuity of the human experience, and also there's something that's a little unnerving about the continuity and how things don't seem to change that much. They seem to stay the same. But I take comfort in knowing that some of the struggles that the people in the early church 2,000 years ago are some of the same struggles that we are experiencing today. And if they were having that same struggle then, and the words that their leaders offered them were words of comfort and guidance, then I think hopefully, and we know that God does this, we know that God will be able to bring us a good word about how to live in this day and age. And so that's how and why I think we can turn to the Apostle Paul again for encouragement and instruction and understanding of how to make it forward in this anxious time. Now let's refresh ourselves on the situation that we find Paul in this particular time. When he was writing to this church in the Philippi, in the Turkey area, modern-day Turkey, Paul was writing to this group of Christians that he knew well. He had founded this church, unlike some of the others that we hear about in the New Testament. He just knew them by reputation and had intention to go visit them. And the reality is that Paul was writing them a letter that he was hoping would encourage them so that they could find their way forward in all moments of life. Now, here's what's so fascinating about what we heard a minute ago. What Paul was writing to these people in the Philippi was he was writing to them while he was in prison. That's right, the entire book of Philippians, that letter that Paul wrote, those four beautiful chapters of which we just heard a part of, was written by Paul while he was in prison in the capital of Rome. He was in prison and he was arrested for capital offense charges. He had been arrested for crimes against the empire and he was being held prisoner, and presumably he wasn't going to be let out on good behavior. When you were arrested by Rome for capital offenses, you had one way to go, and that was to be killed. And we know that later on, Paul would probably find his way to his own death as a martyr in the hands of the Roman Empire later on. And so that fascinates me that these are the words that Paul chooses to write to people while he is in prison, while he is facing a life-altering circumstance, while he is probably experiencing some anxiety. I imagine when he wrote these words to the people of Philippi, to the Philippians, that he was also trying to encourage himself. He was trying to remind himself of what he might do in a circumstance like this. And so the words that he gives and the guidance that they offer, I think, are super important for us to be reminded of. He says to not be anxious, to not have excessive worry, to not have excessive stress so that we can't do the things that we want to do. Instead, he says, pray to God. So the prayers to God can help. Paul encourages the people then and us now to pray in the circumstances that we face so that we might find our way forward. Now, prayer in response to anxiety and stress is very important, but let's remind ourselves what Paul is actually encouraging in this moment. Paul is not encouraging people to find their way forward into praying to God, to talking to God, in a way where they think that they are going to find their way to getting God to do for them that which they want. Prayer is not like a magic eight ball where you like shake it up and then you find your way into being like, oh, this is what's going to happen. No, prayer rather is more importantly about putting ourselves in a position to be used by God, to be reminded of how much God loves us, and to be asking ourselves, how can we let God's hope and love and peace into our life and not let anxiety or worry or excessive stress stop us from having the lives God wants for us. When we pray, if we pray to ask God to do stuff for us, we're missing the opportunity. Rather, prayer is about being in a relationship with God so our lives can align with what God wants for us. And when we align ourselves into what God wants for us, we can indeed reduce the anxiety in our lives. Because as we reduce the anxiety, what happens to us is that fear that drives us otherwise, perhaps, is put in perspective. What happens when we find our way forward in allowing other things into our lives is if we push out the fear, then we can let hope back in. And we can let hope be the way we see the world. We can let God's love be a way that we see the world. God's love is impartial. God's love is there for all people. And God's love is there for you, and it's there for me. And in these moments, if we can find our way to less anxiety and more into prayer that positions us to be in relationship with God, then we can be the people that God wants us to be in this time and in this age. When we do this, we put ourselves in a position to be used by God and to bring hope into all circumstances, even these unprecedented ones that we find ourselves in. Now, when we hear those words of Paul and we can remember that Paul was in prison when he wrote these things, I think that helps us to get a little perspective about what most of us are experiencing at this time. And that isn't to minimize what is going on, but it is to say that if Paul is able to write, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, my friends in Christ, that you are able to be with God at all times," then we are able to see the joy that can be had in our lives. We're able to see what God is doing in and through us if we can reduce the anxiety in our lives. In the scriptures, Paul and Jesus talk about not worrying. And not worrying is an important part of what is going on in our lives right now. But it is also true that we have some concrete things to be concerned about in our day and age. And so we want to hold that intention as we go forward. I think that's one of those things that's a tension to be managed, not a problem to be solved. And so if we think about the ways in which we go forward, we want to keep that in mind. But as we find ourselves experiencing fear, as we find ourselves experiencing stress or anxiety, perhaps instead of ratcheting it up, we can ratchet it backwards and allow ourselves to use those as impetuses to be in a time of prayer. Now, if we take the words of Paul seriously and we take those encouragements to find our way forward, prayer is the first thing we should be doing, is putting ourselves in a position to be used by God. But I want to offer some other ideas about how we can reduce our anxiety in the specific time that we find ourselves in that I think that build off of what Paul and Jesus were teaching. These are some specific ways that I think if you take the principles that Paul was offering us at that time, that we can put into practice for our time today. And so I want to offer just a few things, and I hope these are helpful for you. So the first thing that I want to encourage is for us to indeed take some time to step back, take some time to reflect, and take some time to do so that fear does not attack. If we can step back and not let fear attack, then we can find our way to being less anxious. If we can step back so that fear does not attack, we can find our way forward to being less anxious. Now, specifically, last week we talked about how important it is to have hope in times like this, godly hope that says God is with us and God is for us. But the reason to have hope is so that we don't have fear. So often in the scriptures, when God is talking to people, the first thing that God says is, "Do not fear. Do not fear." Because life can produce fear. This moment that we're in as people and global citizens of the world today is fear-inducing. It does create anxiety, and there's no doubt about that. But if we can reduce the anxiety, if we can reduce the fear, then we can let the ways in which this is an ongoing experience for all of us be something that is not as terrifying and not as life-altering as perhaps it feels like at times. Fear, like I said last week, fear takes what is and turns it into something that it isn't. Fear takes the moment that has historical parallels and goes back into history and says, it may sound and feel like this, but fear says it's going to be worse than that. And so far, what we know about the situation we're in is that this is a challenging and troubling time, but the historical precedences that are all present all at once, the magnitude of those times, World War II, the historic market crashes, the pandemics of the past, many of those situations can be left in history as we walk forward. Again, that isn't to minimize, that isn't to say that this isn't a serious situation, but it is to say that we do not have to fear that we are in one of those moments, perhaps. Now, I say this softly and I say this with caution, because only history will tell really what this moment is in. But I think that if we don't let fear raise our anxiety, we can see through into understanding the moment that we're in. Now, I want to give another piece of suggestion here that might be helpful. And as we think about our anxiety and how to minimize it, I want to invite us to consider breaking out of the 24-hour news cycle. I want to specifically encourage us to think about how can we turn off the channel that we're watching. And many of us just watch one channel, many different single channels, but one channel probably. How can we turn that off, maybe literally, or how can we reduce the ways in which our exposure to that keeps on happening so that we don't follow in our way forward? We are finding our way forward in a moment where we need to be careful that we don't oversaturate ourselves with the things that are fearful and fear-inducing. Rather, we need to find our ways into putting into our hearts and minds the things that Paul encourages us to think about doing. Right after those words that we heard as the outset of our time together, Paul then gives a sense of what is good and what is helpful. The things that instead of filling ourselves with anxiety and fear, we can look to otherwise. Paul says this. He says, "Do your best to fill your minds and meditating on things that are true, things that are noble, things that are reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious." Paul says, the best, not the worst. Pursue the beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Paul says to put into practice what you learned from him, what you heard, and what you saw, and what you realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I think that if we can take those words of Paul and use those as encouragements, we can turn down the news cycle that we maybe find ourselves in constantly and fill that time with other things, things that are authentic, compelling, and gracious. And as we find our way into those things, it can help us reduce our anxiety and make our way forward with more hope and with more love. And the last thing that I want to encourage us to do, and there's two things actually, the first of which is to, I want to encourage us to find our way forward. It's in these times where we can make the most of the time that we have. We have ways of staying connected in our world today that had this been 10 years ago, 20 years ago, this would have been a much more challenging circumstance. But I want us to encourage us to make the most of the time we have. Some of it goes back to filling our time with these good things, with these godly things, with the beautiful things, and allowing us to see the world in new ways. And the last thing I want to encourage us in is I want to be mindful that this is a very difficult circumstance for many people. That there are some ways in which there are going to be people who need more help than others at this time. And I want to encourage us, for the most part, many of us can work through what Paul has taught, and maybe these suggestions are helpful. But don't forget that there are people who need professional help in a time like this. I want to encourage you to reach out to medical professionals, mental health professionals, reach out to church staff and church leaders. We can talk you through these things and find our way. Because one of the beautiful things is that's happening in all these times is that despite the fact that there are so many challenges we are facing, there is still help for those who need help. Let's remember that at this time. So as we find our way forward in this unprecedented moment, when we find ourselves with lots of concerns, lots of unknowns, with so much fear, let's seek to be people that are less anxious. And as we seek to be less anxious, then we can find our way to allow hope and to weave its way in. We can find our way to allow God's love and God's peace to weave its way in. And as we allow God's love and hope to be present in our lives, then that brings it into the world. And that's what God wants for us. God wants us to be people of hope. God wants us to be people of peace. God wants us to experience love at this time and at all times. So let's cling to the words that Paul has given to us to not be anxious, but rather lift our hearts and our minds up to God in prayer, knowing that God promises to use us and be with us, to help the world still be the place God wants it to be, now and always. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.